Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Professor Keith Engel to join us this morning. He's the Chief Executive Officer of the South African Institute of Taxation. Where on earth is our government getting the money from for these relief measures? Is there anything left that hasn't been stolen? Good morning, Professor Keith Engel.
Well, that's pretty rough.
Sorry. I don't even know where that came from. Sometimes I can't trust myself. So let's ignore that part. And let's make this sensible. So the president announces that they will be extending or reinstituting the relief funds, or some of them. Certainly they've increased the number of people. Where does this money come from?
Well, I think the problem is, well, where are you going to get the money? They're not announcing any tax increases because they can't. Look, they did a little better the first part of the year. So instead of spending that on, you know, reducing the debt or basic costs, they're taking that from there. So that's essentially what they're announcing. And the second thing is, I mean, the big part of the spending is really on the unemployed. That's going to cost them some money. But when it comes to the working poor and, you know, businesses, those incentives are pretty small, so I don't really think those are going to cost them too much. So it really was a measured response, but ultimately it's really going to add to the debt at the end of the day. You're not going to pay back the debt as quick. That's where it's going to come from.
How do they get to this number of 350 rand? It seems arbitrary. It seems insignificant.
Yeah, I'm never sure how you get to these numbers. I guess they're probably looking at their overall revenue streams, and they're saying, okay, well, you know, how much more of a deficit can we add? Or I think what they were basically saying is we were going to bring down the debt a little bit more than we thought, so now we'll just kind of keep it there. So I think it's more on the debt side because there's no other way they can do it. The other way they typically are doing things these days is they're taking money from somewhere else. So unspent money. You'll see that a lot of times you get appropriations to various departments and they're not spending the money. You might have found it there as well. That's typically the place they've been doing over the last number of years.
In other words, it's the other way around. It's the tail wagging the dog. We're not looking at what people's requirements are if they are living below the poverty line. We're saying that, well, this is what we can afford, not what you need.
Yeah, well, that's right. Well, I think we've been on that for quite some time. Even the budget in February, you know, we didn't give the increases the way they needed. And I mean, if you look at the total amount for the poor, it's probably not enough. The problem is you can't afford anymore. You can only afford what you can afford. And unfortunately, we have such a large amount of unemployed people and they've increased. What can you do? It's like, I don't know, you're just throwing money into a pool and hoping you can do something. We just don't have the money. It's only what you can afford. In a sense, it is the oil tail wagging the dog.
How do you balance this? How do you balance the giving these grants, which I understand are absolutely desperately needed, versus rather taking that money and investing it in industries that create jobs and get people employed?
Well, I think that's really where the problem is here. I think what we keep doing is we're not subsidizing the poor. It's important to help the poor, but you're not able to focus back on a growth budget. And here the incentives, like the employment tax incentives, very noble, but most small businesses can't access it. They won't be able to access it immediately. There are only a number of the bigger players that are accessing it. So what you're finding is you're really not helping the working poor that much, and you're not helping the small business and the employers. And that's really against government mantra. I mean, if you look at government, it tends to be an ANC. It's not a pro-business government. I think they want to help business, but they're so far from it, I don't even think they understand the business paradigm. So there is never anything in the growth side of things. And unfortunately, that's fine temporarily helping out the poor. But after a while, what happens is you don't have enough money because you're not growing your businesses. And that's against ANC mantra.
Do you think this was just a knee-jerk reaction following what has gone on across the country in terms of the looting and riots? Or is this something that they would have implemented in any event?
That's interesting. Look, I think they've been doing a number of things. To be fair to the president, he's been much more measured. You know, at the original last year when he did the radical transfer, the radical drop down, whatever he did, he stopped. That killed the economy. It was too radical. So he's been much more measured in the last year. in what he's been doing. And that, I think, has been the most important thing, that he hasn't shut down the economy. He's just done enough to bring down the peak. So that has been very smart. When you're talking here, maybe he did need to do it. I mean, the problem is people are so poor, they're desperate. Because to be honest with you, we can talk about insurrection, but a lot of looting is coming out of desperation. So maybe that was a measure. I think that's a smart way of looking at it.
Is Tito Mboweni still around? He seems to have been very quiet as of late.
Well, I mean, there's always some rumors about him that he likes to work off his farm and all of that. I'm sure he's in the background. I mean, there seems to be the Cyril, the neoclassical liberal cadre, which would be the Minister of Finance, might be the old Minister of Finance dating back. There is a small cadre that's supporting the president, and perhaps there were some discussions behind the scenes. Some of the proposals I can see here are Treasury-driven. I mean, for example, the excise tax deferral, the payroll tax deferral, that's not something that would come out of the president's office. That would be something done in consultation with the Treasury. So maybe he's not being vocal, but I do, at least him or his department are involved somewhere.
Because I would imagine at a time like this, and I feel this about a lot of the different areas, and I've mentioned it in an article, you would expect the president, when he's standing up, to be surrounded by strength and surrounded by people that he relies on. One of those people has got to surely be the Minister of Finance, when so many aspects of this are in fact about the economic strain, the challenges, the rebuilding, the encouraging businesses. Surely we should be seeing more of our Minister of Finance.
You're probably right. I guess what's interesting here is, I mean, maybe my memory is serving, that when the president's made a lot of announcements, there were a few he's done in group, but generally he's been doing them alone. What has been interesting to me was, I was in the Treasury a long time ago, the Minister of Finance used to make those announcements.
Correct, yeah.
Now you're seeing the president's doing it. But maybe the problem is that his cabinet is divided. I mean, you know, there is a problem that Tito represents a minority fraction in that cabinet. Most of them have a different political persuasion. So maybe he didn't want to be seen so close to the Minister of Finance, at least for internal reasons.
Yeah, it could well be. This is where we do need to leave it. Professor Keith Engel, Chief Executive Officer at the South African Institute of Taxation. Fascinating conversation. I'd love your reaction to that. 34519 or 0618951019. Do you share my concern that Tito Mboweni, our Minister of Finance, to me, appears to be missing in action? It's